Fred Film Radio, Tribeca Film Festival, New York.
This is Natasha Sinjanovic for Fred Film Radio. I caught up with Toni Collette and Thomas Hayden Church just before the New York premiere of their latest film, Lucky Them, which is directed by Megan Griffith, in which Toni Collette plays a jaded music critic assigned to find out what really happened to her rock star boyfriend on the 10th anniversary of his mysterious disappearance, and Hayden Church, her unlikely sidekick. Ellie and Charlie come and go through all these flimsy relationships, yet you guys are the constants in each other's lives in this particular moment. You could say that the real love story is between your two characters in terms of their friendship.
I would agree. I mean, ultimately, it is about this very unusual friendship that becomes quite important and necessary for both of them. But ultimately, they've both ostracized themselves in a particular way. Ellie has experienced a certain amount of pain through loss and has kind of shut down and has been treading water for many years. She's become an alcoholic. She's bad at her job. She's, you know, sleeping around with young guys because they will never be a threat to her and be anything real in her life. And this old kind of, I guess they dated. We talk about the fact that they dated a couple of times. He kind of reemerges in her life just as her job is being threatened. And she's really resistant initially. And he ends up being, I think, one of the greatest friends she'll ever have. And I love that it's a platonic relationship. I love that there's a sense of ambiguity about it at the end. It makes it kind of more than just a romantic comedy. Because it is romantic and it is funny, but it's also, you know, quite deep and challenging and meaningful.
They just get to the finish line of, you know, the movie emotionally having gone through so much, and it's just nice to have a woman friend that he can now confide in and rely upon to get great emotional advice. As Tony's alluded to in a lot of different interviews, that's enough. I mean, I think it's a very emotionally gratifying at the end of the movie that it's just somebody to spend time with, and it doesn't necessarily have to be as obvious as romance or chemistry. Romantic chemistry, it can just be, man, it's just great to have a woman friend that I can rely on. And I like that. I like that ambiguity as well.
Thomas, you were at Tribeca last year with Whitewash, in which you had a very particular relationship with food. In this film, it's about the drink. Actually, you both have your favorite drinks in this film, or ways of drinking.
I drank a lot of whiskey. I mean, my character did. So I had a lot of hangovers, on-screen hangovers. Not real, not mine. She's a functioning alcoholic. So, yeah, she was shooting a lot of whiskey straight, which I'd never done, actually. And then it wasn't until we shot that scene on the way back from that location. There was this little bar that looked so cute, and I went and sat at the bar with this whole heap of guys and little Jonathan, who was driving me. He was like, I'm going to come in with you. And I asked all the guys, what's the best whiskey? And they said, oh, you should have, I think they said Maker's Mark, which isn't, is it? I mean, that's not very good.
That's Sam Raimi's bourbon of choice.
I had one shot, and it was disgusting, but it was a very relaxing drive home.
And the lime?
Yeah, just clean water and a lime, which is there to disinfect the water even further, that the citric acid. A lot of people don't know that, but the whole tradition in Mexico of like squeezing a lime in a beer, in a Corona, is to kill the bacteria in the beer and also around the mouth of the bottle. And so whenever we discussed it, that was my rationale, is like to cut the lime up to kill whatever residual bacteria is left, either on the glass or in the water.
So you say that the ending is ambiguous, so there's no message for all those 40-something women out there still thinking of their first love, like, hey, grow up and look at the man who's right in front of you?
Now, they're all destined to end up with a metro man who's around 50. and sexually ambiguous for the rest of their lives.
But how about the message of a woman kind of dealing with all her emotional crap in a really head-on way and coming out of it with a good friend and feeling strong in herself and responsible for herself? That's something also. You don't need a guy.
Is that what attracted you to the film? We were talking before with the filmmakers and with Ryan, that what I liked about it, how it's a very specific story to Seattle, to you know, and she's a journalist and to that course that she's taken her life. But it's universal in the sense that it's what everybody does, I think, especially when they hit their late 30s, early 40s. There's a certain kind of reckoning and taking stock of your life that happens then that spoke to me about the film, through the film.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I mean, we all become a kind of product of our experience, you know, for better or for worse, and some people are beholden to it, you know, and I think it's quite common for people to feel frustrated with their lot, and also quite common to not really know how to deal with it, or know how to deal with it, and you're too scared to actually face it. And I think that's Ellie's story, and it probably took this guy kind of pushing her a little bit to look into all the crap that's holding her back. But yeah, I think there are certain times in your life where you do take stock and you reevaluate where you're at, what's going on, you're only on planet Earth for a short period of time, man. You've got to be happy with what you're doing and make some decisions. It's very easy to kind of coast along, and once in a while something, you know, wakes a person up for whatever reason. And I suppose this film really does, you know, entertain all those thoughts.
There's a moment in the movie, and we won't give away the big surprise, but when we see the cracks in Ellie's shield, she has this moment of confronting her past. Can you tell us about what went into that scene for both of you?
I guess, you know, at the beginning of the film, I said both of the characters kind of ostracized themselves in a certain way, and there are certain walls that have been built, and they're very firmly in place. And throughout the film, and in looking back at her life experience and her relationship with Matthew and her expectations and how they weren't met, you know, she slowly kind of comes undone or slowly lets go. And that was a really interesting thing to me, the way that somebody can slow... I don't know whether it's a breaking down or an opening up or a waking... I don't know, but just that amount of change. And all of that change somehow does build into this... All of the history of everything she's talked about Matthew comes to a head in this one scene. And so when they do find him, it's a million different feelings. I mean, it just... It's a big scene. I felt a bit of pressure for that scene. You want to talk about it?
You know, I mean, I was there as an observer, but it was incredibly powerful to witness because... You know, Tony was next to me, and I just felt it ignite, you know, just the sadness and the pathos and the love and the tragedy of the romance and that it's gone forever, but there's a little residual hope that maybe just for a moment, just a fleeting moment, you could go back. And it just was something that you don't get to see that much in a moment on set. And Tony breaking down, especially a few takes, it was hard to not become really emotional myself. It just was as painfully real as anything you could ever hope somebody can commit to in a performance.
On a lighter note, Ellie is a music critic, but your character hates music, all music.
Until I hear Bryan Adams, a Canadian rocker. It's just, you know, he's such a sort of a buttoned-up guy professionally and personally, and it's one of the slightest tendrils of the story that she helps me sort of let, you know, loosen some of my scar tissue and my armor. And by the end, it's like he grudgingly admits that he likes this one dude, you know, and then it's, you know,
but the story
and
would then work sort of so well if we were more alike. The fact that we're so opposite, the thing that I live for, you despise. It's like, couldn't be better for these two people to get in a car and go on a trip.
You guys are different, but at the same time, you have, I mean, the choices that's you make nice. Romantically are... Both characters are pretty loopy.
Well, we're both afraid of commitment, right? We're both avoiding it, really. Trying to make an attempt, but not really wanting to succeed.
I'm willing to give someone a dead animal to end the relationship.
Let's finish it there.
That was Toni Collette and Thomas Hayden Church talking about their latest film, Lucky Them, directed by Megan Griffiths, which makes its New York premiere here at the Tribeca Film Festival. And this is Natasha Zyanowicz, and you're listening to Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio,
24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.